All right, folks, welcome to the Musky 360 podcast. AJ Bird, how's she dangling?
Steve.
I'm at the Musky shop right now.
He's at work last night.
How about that? How's Canada?
Hey, freaking hot.
You're too.
You were talking about that, and we were freaking going through the heat. Hot. Yeah, it's kind of an asteroid. I'm not real impressed by the temperatures here. I've acclimated, Jay.
Sure.
You know, this is week, what, 8 for me between the Northwoods and up here. And, you know, 85 is soul-crushing at this point in my life, which is ridiculous to say. And when I go home, it'll just be punishment of all types when it comes to the heat. But nonetheless, it is warm. However, there's still the fall transition going on, which we'll get to. Remind me, Jay, because I got some thoughts on that. But there's something coming up at the Musky Shop, Jay, other than the comings and goings, which we'll hit here in a second. I think Jim Stewart's got maybe Fred's working on some wieners. What's going on here? Is it coffee?
No, it's,
what
it's,
we got?
It's several levels above wieners. We're talking Saturday. Sounds like 11 a.m. to 1. They're having a kind of an impromptu customer appreciation day.
This Saturday?
Of course, everyone knows, this Saturday, is the kickoff to Labor Day weekend.
There you go.
What is that, the 31st of August, this Saturday already?
Wow.
Last day of August, can you believe it?
No, it's been a blur.
Yeah, there's going to be some free food, and Chad from MM26 is going to be there.
Nice.
And you can meet him and talk to him about his baits, and actually, we just did a little video. I think we're going to put that up. It's something very interesting. It's something probably no one's thought of or ever seen before.
Very nice.
Little 3-minute video on some technical aspects of lure building. That'll be on the Musky Shop YouTube tonight.
Very nice.
In a few hours. This weekend. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. It's going to cool down, and we're looking at good weather. And because right now, the humidity, Steve, it's so bad. This would put your hometown bad humidity day to shame. It's that bad out right now.
I too am moist. So it's nasty out there.
Oh, well spoken.
You know, so speaking of, you got the insights into custom lure building. I know a guy from Minnesota, right?
Sure.
One of my buddies, the fellow animal, if you will.
Not Doc Boy Randy.
However, frickin', I love Duff Stuff, and I can't tell you exactly what it is, but we've got a super custom exclusive. I begged, I pleaded, I bought rounds, right? Please help me for some of the baddest fall trolling baits you're ever going to see.
I know.
So, we're going to shoot something, I believe, Monday, Jay. I'll be rolling through there and hanging with
you.
Sounds
good, yeah.
So we're going to go out and promo something that is going to blow your mind.
Boom.
Boom, shakalaka. Boom goes the dynamite. Jay, what are the comings and the goings at the Musky Shop currently? Anything of note?
Well, we got Adam's Custom Lures Havocs in last week.
Gotcha.
There are some left. We didn't get
there's
a lot.
A bear in the cabin, Jay. Oh, no, it's just Brian. Never mind. Sorry, I heard. Anytime
hairy
I hear the
man
door.
Or
huh?
Is he a hairy man? Or
he's not a very hairy man, but I hear that door open. I think bear every time. It's just knee jerk when you're this far north.
Grizz.
Yep.
So anyway, hey, Steve, did you see the video short on this Havoc? It actually looks really good in the water. It's like a hybrid jerkbait, crankbait type deal, mid-range.
Right.
I love that kind of stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a cool little bait, and they're not expensive.
Yeah.
So, that's something new.
Hey, I'm into it. Late season here. Think controlling. And what I was going to mention is this, Jay. Believe it or not, I'm walking on air.
You're walking on sunshine.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm just beat up to the end of time.
That.
But what I was going to say is this. With the cooler nights, right? Just because it's hot for the next couple days, do not discredit this cool down at night and these fish getting stupid shallow. Stupid.
Yes.
The fall transition, right? I don't fish the calendar, but look at the conditions, and you look at this thing, and you go, listen, it's dropping down 60s. Canada, for sure, high 50s, low 60s. Next few days, it's going to be even knocked down even more. They are going to push up shallow. It is top water. It's what we talked about, I think, last year. Like, there's this magical time of top water and blades, Jay, right?
Right when you called, you said, what's up? And I said, I was talking with a customer. That's exactly what happened to this gentleman last night. Exactly, to a T. Go ahead.
Well, what was his experience? There's a bear coming. Oh, my God, another bear. No, it's
he saw a fish or two during the day, and they fished. They fished, you know, slightly into, you know, the dark period, and moon wasn't up yet, and had a huge fish explode on a topwater bait, real shallow, over some weeds and rock.
Right, there you have it. That's the combo. One thing I've noticed is complexes are the key right now. Has been, we always will be. But, you know, I'm not swinging for 30s here. You know, not when you're in Canada.
Yeah,
But these big fish tend to be dialed in on anything that has complexity. Now, complexity is a moving target based upon where you're at, but you know, if I'm on an inland Wisconsin lake that has one major point in weeds, that's the most complex thing there is there, right? Where the juxtaposition of, you know, it might not be this crazy Canada rockweed deep water, you know, displacement or something of that nature. You're wherever you're at, look for complexities and look for shallow water bites. Once those temps start dropping, obviously that's going to be a moving target as we go here. But if you're up north, man, it is blades and top water. You know, you can get your tube bite. You can get your burbot tube or your kraken tube going on during the daytime or some of those other scenarios. But this has been interesting of the fact of one of these years. It's like when I was doing the book, right? The lofty tome. And I broke up moon phase into two sections because this is the year of moon phase up here. There's no doubt. Right, there's no question. Is like, well, you better be rocking on the major. You better be on a fish. So knowing complexes, knowing where the most musky-ish areas are through structural study and understanding where vegetation is going to be imperative, and then that willingness to get nasty shallow, right? Which is, for me, it's going to be Steve's meat grinder. That's something I'm going to consider. The tailgaters, slop masters, podcaster was up a couple weeks ago, and that right when this started to happen, he got a personal best on the spinner bait. We talked about that with the meat grinder, and then had fish coming up on this, slop master spoon.
Yeah.
Like, really? Okay. You know, throwing it in 6 inches and working it back where, you know, it's dirty work. You know, you're going to get fouled up, but if you got the right baits, it's going to be far less painless. But just something to consider because the fall transition is happening. Starting to see it up this way. I'm sure, Jay, once this heat breaks, you're probably on the... I'm looking at it, at least looking at a forecast, is it seems as though this is the last kind of gas, right, as far as warm, maybe. But...
It's looking that way here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's going to warm up some stuff. It's going to get those shallows cooking. And these fish, we're losing daylight. That's one thing I would know. We're losing daylight. I've noticed it. I've been up here so long, you know, from, you know, it's dark at 8:15. And weeks ago, it was dark at 10:45, right? And you see the change. And the fish are fully aware of this. The days are getting shorter and the bite's getting hotter. That's the way it works. And then after that, they're going to slump off and disappear, and then we're into primetime trolling, which is why you want to hear about what our good buddy Duff has in the works there. Something excellent. Limited, right? Just limited.
Limited, but excellent.
Well, like I said, it took a lot of old begging. Please. Please, my lord, please. But we got that cooking there, and that's going to be cool. But, you know, consider what your water temps are, consider what the bite is when you're up north. Obviously, you guys that are mid-country and south, it ain't there yet. It ain't there yet, but be thinking ahead when you start seeing those drops in temp, right? You start seeing the overnight temperatures dropping down a bit. And last night, I got to apologize. Speaking of overnight temperatures, Jay, thank goodness I told you tomorrow's going to be better because the power went out, Jay. That's why we're a day
late.
Right
after you called last night.
Yeah. Like, it was
naturally.
Considered sleeping in the car there for a little bit. You know, it's you don't need AC in Canada until it's this kind of temperatures. But, you know, it's an interesting deal. But, yeah, think about fall transition. Start considering what your game plan is for when that happens, right? I'm not Mr. Blades and Topwater. We all know that. However, when it works, it works. We've said it, right?
Time
to think about that. You know, something I've made work. A good friend of me and Jay's, MG, got a PB Topwater, right?
Yeah.
You know, got and all these different things happening. There's a lot of opportunity there. Now, that followed by big fish, shallow, often like slow presentations. You cannot churn and burn them, right? What I've seen is that big rapid fire topwater, coax them up, right? They might not always be on fire. Big fish move slow. You just listen to that. If you want to get dialed in, that's the sound. I'm being dead serious. It sounds stupid.
No,
that
you're
is
right.
The sound.
Most people overwork.
Blah, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah.
Slower down.
Just give her time to work. Cast as far back. If you're a Minnesota guy, I know those temps are going to drop. Cast in the reeds, whatever it might be. Another consideration I'd say is lighter bucktails to get over the weed tops, right? That's something I'm going to work on. Got an idea for some tactical bucktails here because working over that slop is difficult. Sometimes you want to be in it. Sometimes you got to be above it. You can't fish below them. And that's when I start thinking about topwaters because, listen, if that thing's sitting back and you know, it's a 50-inch fish and it's sitting in 18 inches of water, man, you want to put it right over her head. Now, another thing we witnessed last night is the quintessential musky move, Jay. Tails out of the water, dorsals out, we're coming in, the wall of water's behind you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is giving those fish hard stops. Get it away from them and stop it, right? If you can't get him to go, if he's halfway to the boat before we get boat side, don't be afraid to stop that thing for a heartbeat, 1/1000, and then go back in, right? That has been quintessential because the ones that are just going to hog off on a topwater, guess what they're going to do?
Okay, you're talking about topwater. Gotcha.
Yeah. You know that it could be not blades, obviously, but you know a meat grinder or a tailgater or whatever you can pulse. But these fish that are coming in tailing, right? They could smoke it anytime they want, but don't be afraid to give them a surge and a stop. And when you pick it back up, you're going to get lit up on, right? That seems to be pretty on par with the way they're acting. I'll say this. From all reports I've heard and everybody I've talked to, this is not the year of blades in Canada. However, it has not been very bladey. But like I said, start thinking fall transition right now. If you're a southern guy or a mid-country guy or something of that nature, you know, start paying attention to your forage movement. Start really, you know, we talk about the 3-point bait check. Start paying attention to that mid check too.
I just wanted to add, I had a customer in about an hour and a half ago, right? And he was buying a ton of stuff and got to talking with him more and more. And he spent almost the entire summer in Lake of the Woods. He's got a place up there and he's going back up next week, right? And he was stocking up on some stuff. And you know what? It was about half blades and it was about half jerk baits. It was a lot of Suix. He had, one or two Titans. He had like four Suix, nines and tens.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you know, I mean, it kind of speaks volumes to look at someone that's sounds like the guy's pretty dialed in. He's spending a lot of time and he's super into it. So that's what's been working for him. It's also his prediction coming into early fall, too, I suppose.
Well, and that's the thing is, getting shallow is funny. I was out with Danny. We went out a couple days ago, and he had a 4-footer come up on a Titan, and it's just like getting those jerk baits in there, and You can coax them up, you know, but shallow, shallow, shallow. They're willing to come up. There's a narrow band, right? And that's going to be a sliding scale. I would say we're 2 weeks ahead of the south, maybe. So just something to consider, but, you know, look at those water temps. Look at that forage thing, because it's hard sometimes if you're dialed in on an outside edge bite, right? And you're like, they every weekend I'm going out and they're smacking krakens, right? They're lighting them up, or, you know, I'm fishing regular tubes or whatever you're doing. When that bite's gone, you got to get shallower for a minute. You got to get shallow, 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 nasty shallow, as shallow as you can get. And it's going to produce. So let's hit some Q&A here, Jay, before I get back out on the boat here. What do we got here? Doing it live. Alec, I had an action-packed morning this morning with 10 flogs, but couldn't get any of them to take it. I tried downsizing lures and changing the action of lures, but still just followed. Do you have any advice on what to try next time? We've all had those days, right? You have these days where fish are just going to follow and they won't commit, upsize, downsize. They're following everything in the tackle box, right?
Yeah.
If your eights are good, if they're committing in the figure eights and they're coming into the eights, maybe you address what your figure eight looks like. Maybe that's good. Maybe it's bad. But if you feel like, okay, my figure eight looks money and I'm making wide turns and they're not breaking off in a weird way, meh. There's days. There are follow days. I mean, frickin' Brian the Bear here, we had frickin' Scungelungo Rex up. Absolute. I thought I was going to have a heart attack running the boat. I figure-aided for nearly a minute, which, you know, when you really think about it, that's a long time. Shallow, deep, it didn't frickin' matter. Mm-hmm, and this thing is all of, you know, I'll eat my shoe if it was below 52. And wouldn't take, you know, and you come back and they're just gone, or they come back. So there are days where they'll follow and they won't eat. They're kind of dialed in on who knows what, or maybe they're just active. It feels like they just can't stand it to it's not that, come
right, right. It's that weird activity where they're that curiosity type activity, you know, and there's sometimes, like you said, there's no way around it. Al, I was just talking with Al, one of our guides here, and 2 days ago, I think, maybe Friday, he was out and he had two really big fish up, kind of lazily following 10 feet with weeds, right? And he had one cruising super high in the water column over deep water.
Right.
And he's like, they would not touch anything.
But they'll come up and look.
He knows what he's... Yeah. But they'll come up and look.
And now, you can't chalk that up to every trip, but there are days.
No.
And when you have high contacts, no eats, take that as a learning experience and go, oh, I know they use this, right? The days I'm getting like megaton follows are the days I'll just go check out new shit too. Those are the days I'll go, huh, maybe I just check out this reef, or I check out this weed bed that hasn't produced for me for a long time, or I don't feel confident in. So use it as a learning experience to go, all right, let's check out some B stuff or some C stuff, stuff that's off your radar, and see if they're moving. You go, okay, I feel confident that muskies are using this, so I might be able to capitalize on this at a different, on a later day, right, or a different time. But, dude, there are follow days. I don't care who you are. There are days where they're like, oh, they'll come in, you know, whether their jaws are jacking or, I mean, I had a fish, Jay, the biggest fish I've seen this year so far, come up and headbutt a Magnus prototype, right? I don't mean it came up and swiped at it. I mean it came up and headbutted it.
Mouth closed, headbutted it.
Yeah, like, get away from me. I mean, like I said, it was the biggest I've seen in a long time. And it came up. It touched the bait with its mouth closed, and it was kind of like, get out of my space.
Was it included in that day where they were following? Just out of curiosity, yeah. Was it a different day?
Same day. But
it was same day.
Came back on that fish 2 days later when conditions looked right. It followed up. It wouldn't eat. And you're like, bah! Right?
Mm-hmm. You made that sound again. Oh. It's a bad sound to hear.
No. The backside of the uck echoed off the hills. You know?
Right. I understand.
Uck, 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 all the way to dry. And yeah, I was not a happy camper. Here came the wall of water, and you sure. go, just eat it. Anyway, it happens. Use it as a learning experience. Obviously, we want to try a bunch of different baits. One thing I'll tell you is this. On follow days, on lakes that I'm learning, or say it's home waters, if they're following everything, play with baits. And you go, well, I used, I'll beat myself up. Let's say you're on a big follow day, and you go, all right, I've not ever caught a fish on a Titan. And you go and you fish an area with a Titan, you don't get a follow, but you go back through with like blades and get a follow and go, maybe this is not the right spot or the right lake. You see what I'm saying? Where you can mm-hmm. see yeah. what they'll respond to, so we can learn a ton there. Anthony, hey guys, just want to start by saying thanks for everything you do on the podcast. It is phenomenal. That's what Jay's mother thinks as well. I'm hoping you can help me out with a new venture, trolling. When I get to fish, I fish with my dad. We're in northern Illinois, and our home water is pretty clear with a mix of tigers and purees. Not a super high density of fish, but definitely a fishable population. We're trying to fish the fox chain more. Okay, I'm looking here. He's looking for specific bait suggestions, including collar. Between the two of them, they have a lot of baits, but not necessarily trolling baits. What would you guys recommend for trolling baits that have confidence in and pretty much anywhere? My number one, Jay knows the answer, Duff knows the answer. My number one confidence bait for trolling for muskies is a 10-inch headlock. That's it. All right?
Sure.
10-inch headlock. And you go, well, the 12 or the whatever, the custom 8.5. No, 10-inch headlock. You can ask neighbor Steve. We went out and smacked him and shellacked him out on the rocks one day here. Worst conditions I've seen all year in Canada, right? All right, let's go grind. Here it goes. They got a metal lip for a reason. Let's torture them. Let them float up. Let them bang. Let them bang. Let them hang. But my personal, like what I go to, 10-inch headlock, Steve's Musky Thunder, which is that black. Doc Boy Randy caught a 50 on that this year. A lot of other big fishing. That is a black headlock with a little bit of flash. That is like my go-to. Duff was cool enough to do customs on that for the muskie shop, so I could stop spray painting these baits like an a-hole. So that is like my go-to, or anything walleye-ish. I believe we have there's a custom walleye at the muskie shop that has like this bloody lip thing going on, right, Jay? I don't know what. It's like darker on the top, lighter on the bottom walleye with like a blood. Jody calls it blood face. And that is what we got that Wisconsin 50 on a couple years back, trolling that fun time we had there. That's kind of my walleye base, kind of my lighter color. Jake, can you pull up what color that is? I don't have any signal.
I think you're talking about custom wild sucker. I know no, if it's the same one I'm thinking about.
It's got blood. Hold on.
It's got blood up by the gills.
I don't have enough signal. Yeah, it's like this. Oh, there's the shop phone. You guys have you? Pardon me. This is Lester Thompson. I'm 87 years young, and I'm looking for jig heads. Is that the call?
Muds. Yeah, it could be.
You guys got fat scoops down there?
Yeah.
Do you guys ever get fat scoops? I'm coming to buy a 12 pack, but I want 15. I don't have enough to pull it up here. It might be.
Yeah, I know you've done well in that color. I think that's what we got the big one on a couple of years ago trolling up here.
Custom wild sucker?
Yeah, it's got a kind of a goldish scale pattern on the side.
Yeah,
darker on the top, lighter on the belly, and blood up on the gills.
Yeah, I thought that.
Custom wild sucker.
Okay, yeah. Custom wild sucker, which looks walleye-ish to me. Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But those would be my two go-tos. Followed by absolute, like, 100% confident bait. Confidence bait trolling is a straight 8-inch depth reader. Flat out. You know, old faithful. You know what you're going to get, right?
Yep. Sure.
So, with those, if I'm trolling them, I'm going to reinforce them. I'm going to make sure we got a good split ring on that. I'm making sure that thing's got sharp hooks and is dialed in. That followed by a grandma. What is it? Eight? The grandmas are odd sizes. What?
Nine-inch grandma.
Nine-inch grandma. Right.
Sure.
Jay has a 9-inch grandma. She was a very small lady.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I was enjoying some camp libation there. So those would be my go-tos. I mean, when I'm absolutely just dick in the dirt and I got to catch a fish, 10-inch headlock, 3.5, 4, right? If you're getting down on trolling, obviously you have the app, Muskie 360 app. Tons of trolling charts on there. Those are going to be my go-tos for sure. Next year, what we got here? Beep! So I fished the Eagle River tourney and moved a few fish. But a 4-degree water temp drop didn't help. Now, lo and behold, I get on my own key spots. A large reed flat that dips into the deepest water of the lake 2 days after the tourney and see multiple fish within an hour. Now, at least two were porpoising around me up to 6 times, almost like the bigger ones protecting the area. I've raised them on big blades, but haven't connected and have went to rubber and large profile slammer cranks, but no closes. I've hit them on majors and minors, no dice. Any idea what is your best move on porpoising fish? They don't eat.
Yeah, we've talked about that before. That's a conundrum right there when you got the porpoising situation. They usually aren't going to eat.
No. I mean, I've done it once or twice.
Me too. Once or twice.
But for there's one. We had one yesterday, Jay. Yeah. I moved it, came in, nice fish. Then it comes over and shows its ass.
See ya.
Yeah, through right at.
Did
right
he say
at,
that? Yep.
Yeah.
I knew it. Every time.
And I've been on spots where it's just like they just come up. I think they are screwing around. Right? They're just screwing around. Now, with that being said, you can make the cast and then you get a reaction strike out of them. Right? But rarely has it worked for me. I mean, one or two times I can recall for sure where it's like, there's one. Right? Just doesn't happen for me. So don't beat your brains out. Look for similar situations, right? I would look for similar situations where they kind of go, oh, if you got it, or go to a different lake with a similar kind of scenario, right? If you're in Wisconsin, that's a doable thing. And see if they're eaters and not screw arounders, right? that's the question there. But porpoising fish, that's a tough one. You know, that is a tough one. Hold on, what we got? Freaking people sending tons of emails. It's so hard when I'm freaking up here.
Yeah, I mean, at least you know there's one in the area, though. You can always go back and hopefully he's changed his mood.
Jay, super simple question here from a new listener named Amber. What is the best way for me to catch muskies just getting started? Best lures to use for casting? So a new angler named Amber. Jay, what would you say the absolute best place to start, the basic where let's get this party started kind of presentation?
Right. Hard to say where she's fishing, but, you know, I would say 9 times out of 10, you go with the basics. If you're looking at lures, she's talking about lures, right? Or is she talking about, what's your take on that?
I don't know. You know. I'm trying to get in the freaking fridge, Jay. Shut up.
Okay, Amber. Well, I'm check back. Out the Sorry. Muskie shop or stop in. You right. know, there are a handful of bucktails, which are great all-purpose, that are not too big, not too hard pulling, not too small.
Right.
Made for muskies, hardware-wise, and basically, you know, you get into these mid-sized things. You know, what I call like a mid-length bucktail. 7-8 inches. Nothing bigger than, like, blade-wise than, say, a Booker 700, which is a number 7 fluted. You stick with the smaller blades, but, again, not too small, right?
Right.
You know, musky killers, Booker 700s, small musky frenzy, the IC7.
And those will catch all kinds of other fish, too.
They will.
I mean, start at bucktails. I think, and this is something to be said. And a lot of us, we all have the friend we love to hang out with, and we got to get him addicted to muskie fishing. He's far too smart. Guy, girl, it doesn't matter, right? When you're starting with this, one bucktail, black and nickel, a spinnerbait, preferably a Steve's meat grinder for obvious reasons. But, you know, it's not going to foul up like a Steve's meat grinder or a slot master. And then it's like a slammer. I think a slammer, you know, whatever. Pick your poison. You know, get a black slammer or sit, whatever. Start there. You know, that I think you're going to spend the time and connect and learn on those, because they're not high skill baits, but they catch fish, right?
Yeah, get a 6-inch fatty minnow. I mean, that's the type of thing that kind of covers the jerk bait territory, mm-hmm. too, because you're stopping and going with that bait. And
it's one of those things, like, they're not, maybe it's not a confidence bait, but they're confidence booster baits where you go, oh, that looks good in the water. You know, another bait that kind of falls in that category in my brain would be the Muskie Innovation Shallow Invader. That thing looks lively in the water. So keep it simple.
Shot that thing
in
the
don't, you don't have to worry about buying 7 billion baits. Get you a bucktail somewhere in the persuasion of 700 to 800, which is a 7 blade or an 8 blade, right? Or a combination thereof, or double eights. Nothing too big, nothing too small. MEPS Giant Killer's going to be on that list. Fatty Slammer Minnow, right? And like a spinnerbait. Just a straight willow leaf spinnerbait is going to be impervious to fouling for you. Zach!
Yep. One more, Steve.
One more, here it comes.
One more, and make sure you have an appropriate rod and reel. You know, none of this heavy bass stuff, because I see it about a million times. You know. It's like, oh, we're going to get by with this. You know, I got a Bass Pro Shops medium heavy. I'm like, okay, well, that's not a musky medium heavy. So anyway, enough said.
Bad.
You've all heard that spiel. About,
gear up.
Sorry
right.
to cut you off.
No, gear up the right way. I'll tell you this, the best female angler setup I've seen so far, right, is a Tranx 300.
Great reels.
I don't know if, and dudes, like if you got freaking hand fatigue, or you're an older dude, or you got hand pain, I got monkey paws on me here, and that Tranx, I can palm it perfectly. It's got all the backbone. That's what MG got her big fish on. That thing's built like a brick shit house, and it's a small profile and super light. You pair that with, say, a St. Croix or a small shield rod, that's a light combination that can take on any fish. You know, you can land any of them. So something to consider. Zach, when would you opt for single blades versus double blades? Got in the musky game beginning on the cowgirl craze, and the double blades were the hottest thing smoking. I had my initial success on double blades, and that was primarily throwing them. I'm fishing, basically he's just saying he's fishing a spinnerbait now, and when do we do singles versus doubles? So the physics of singles versus doubles is this. Singles run deeper at the same speed, right? If we have a single, let's say we have a 700, or excuse me, let's go 8. So we have an 800 blade with the same amount of flashaboo and the same rear weight. It will run deeper by a smidgen versus double blades, because we have surface area and lift that is created, right? So blades are wings on a plane. They have surface area that creates lift. So singles will run deeper at the exact same speed, right? You can get them anywhere you want. However, singles, I believe, have a fatter thump. It's more lopsided. Right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm fishing pressured waters or conditioned fish and I need to throw blades, I'm throwing singles every time. Jay, I mean, when we're in Wisconsin, how many times have you ever seen me throw double blades up there?
How many times you see me throwing double blades?
Never. Ever, mm-hmm. ever. And smoke fish on singles. So I think about running depth and pressure. That's going to be my real kind of takeaway on that. Jason, I'm a Southern Reservoir angler. As you know, this year has been crazy dry. I barely know because I've been crazy cold up in Canada. Most lakes around me in Ohio, West Virginia, and Kentucky already are down several feet. Well, this is grim for going home. They're down several feet with some close to winter pool already. It has been a dry year. That's undeniable. How do you think this will affect early fall patterning fishing this year? So we were talking about, when we started the show, talking about this slide up, this shallow slide up. Well, winter pool a lot of times eliminates some pretty serious littoral zone action, right? I'm going to look for anything that used to be your deep weed edge is now your shallow weed edge. Or your shallow littoral zone becomes, you see what I'm saying? So transpose these areas. Now, when it's low water years in the south, these things will suspend. They will suspend shallow where the bait fish are, because the bait fish obviously are the bellwether for what they're doing. So, you know, what I'm going to look at is, are there suspended bait fish in shallow water casting in the areas that should be shallow? You see what I'm saying, Jay? So it might be mid-depth. Mid-depth is now shallow, right? It's winter pool. So you're going to have a very limited edge. When I'm fighting that, most of the fish I catch are on lateral casts on those edges, right? They're tucked up. They don't have a lot of room to kind of hide. So they'll tuck up on that, and I'll throw lateral casts on the what shallows are left, right? So if you've lost your shallow edge, fish them laterally. Have a guy in the front of the boat thrown dead ahead and a guy thrown right out of the back, and work it and parallel that thing, because they tend to still want to, there's that innate sense they still want to tuck up, but if the shallows are gone. Now, what will happen, and just like the south is always the same way, it is hot, 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 cold. They're going to drop down. And with a low water year, you better be going for your heavy plastics. You better be going for your heavy krakens and thinking jigging, right? Mm. Because we're going to lose that mid-range, right? So they're going to go, instead of from point A to point B to C, they're going to go from frickin' point B to frickin' C, right? They're just going to go from mid to deep, and they'll linger down there for months. So I would address my edges, like I said, in a lateral fashion, because there's not a lot of bed or a lot of edge to draw them out of, right? And if you conceptualize what I'm saying, again, half the littoral zone's gone. They don't want to end up on shore, but they're going to tuck up as tight as they feel comfortable, and that's kind of the take there. So address it. Like I said, change your casting, change your presentation. Everybody else is going to go there and throw freaking blades in topwater, just zinging them in and zinging them out. Those fish are going to stage a little bit differently, and they're going to move faster. So that's going to be a very narrow band for that shallow topwater blade bite, followed by a deep water bite that most people are going, oh, they're still shallow. No, they're not. It'll be bam, bam, 2 weeks of shallow, and then they're freaking right down there at 10, 12, somewhere in that zone where you're going to need to smack them on the kraken. Anyway, very excited. I haven't seen my house in 2 months. Wrapping her up here in the Canada run here. Going to be at Jay's, I believe, Sunday. Oh, more on that Sunday? Later. Yeah, we'll be. I'll be down
definitely
there.
Tell me more about that later.
I'll warn you.
I'd love to know.
I would love to know. I'll be there Sunday. Congratulations.
Sunday. Okay.
If not Saturday night.
Bring some hoodies, Steve. Bring your hoodies.
Anyway, guys, okay. So we will get back to the full production with all the fun songs and the whistling and the kazoo here very shortly. But think about that.
I got some fun songs. I'll be playing them for you when you come by, Steve.
Oh, great. That's what I want to hear. You love.
And you can play some of my guitars, too.
Yeah. Mm. All right, Jaybird, say good afternoon.
Hey, Elmer. Elmer, say hi.
Hello.
Oh, that's Elmer. Hey, good night, guys.
Later.
Good afternoon. Bye-bye.
Have a good day.